Thank you, Jesse, for that kind introduction. God bless you all. When I first met Jesse, when Jesse first saw me at my first fellowship, I was really happy to see him. I didn't really know that he went to fellowship. And when he saw me, he said, "You're the last person I think will come to these things." And I was like, "Good to see you too." Thank you, Jesse. Jesse is also a great lifetime friend. His example has helped my life tremendously. And the reason why I'm sitting here today with the privilege of sharing God's word is men like Jesse. And Steve, too. So, Steve, thank you for asking me to teach and to be up here, even though he knows I don't like being up here. Thanks, Steve. So, sounding out. What do we sound out? So, if you want to turn to the book of John, chapter 17, it's important that we have a foundation of what we sound out is true. So this verse will set kind of the tone for this teaching of sounding out God's word and that it's true. So I'm going to share on how God's word is true, a very simple, simple thing for our lives to believe and to live, right? John, chapter 17. In verse 17, and these are really practical verses, and that's the way it should be when it comes to learning about how God's word is true. Because God didn't make his word to be complicated to understand or to live. It's simple. And verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And I'm teaching on truth. So I guess now that's out of the way. Steve, how long is the next break? I think I'm good here. How far do we need to go into this, though, right? Well, there's some verses that are really great to go over and to believe and to work in our lives. My wife gave me a test of truth when we first got married. She made me take an online test, and it was 20 questions. And it was each question was a picture of some random Asian person, and I had to guess whether they were Chinese, Japanese, or Korean. 20 questions. I got 7 out of 20. And if you want to go to that site, it's called All Look Same. All right. It's hard. I made my mom take that test, and she goes, she's looking, I was like, "Oh, all look same." Like, thanks, Caitlin. Caitlin was trying to find out the truth of what I know. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This word sanctified in the Greek is hagiazo, or in Japanese, hagiazo. No. See, I can make those jokes. And Michael Liu. Yeah. It means to separate from things profane or things that are wicked and dedicate to God, which is so cool. And we do that through thy truth. And why is that? Or how can we do that? It's because in the second part of this verse is because it says thy word is truth. It also means to render or to purify. It means to acknowledge something to be revered and admired. So awesome. This word truth in the second part of this verse is thy word is truth. It's the Greek word aletheia. It means in truth or truly or in reality. It is beyond fact or certainly or in actuality. So we're to separate from things that are profane or wicked. And we can do that because the word is truth. We're to dedicate or to render or purify and to help through thy truth. And that's so cool because anything outside of God's word, I'm sorry to say, it's uncertain. It's not genuine. And one of the coolest terms that I've heard before, that it's just not practical, especially for believers. It's not practical. Anything outside of God's word, worldly knowledge, it's just not practical for the believer, you know, because we have God's word now. You know, figuring things on our own with worldly knowledge, it's just not practical. You know. There's a better way. There's the best way. There's the truth. And God's word is true. You know, I think about like some stupid example in my small brain. I was like thinking like trying to figure things out on our own. It's like buying like IKEA furniture. And we've all done it. We're all guilty of that. You know, when you first get married, you get that small apartment, and you're excited, and the wife does the trimmings, and you pick out the furniture, because we're cheap. And we all go to IKEA, and we pick that bookshelf out, and we pick that bureau out, and that dresser out, and we feel great as men, because we put it together for 10 hours, right? And it's all put together, and your new home, and you're ready for life. Then, 3 months down the line, or even sooner, this all falls apart, right? It just doesn't look like it used to be. And that's how, in my small brain, thinks about how when I go off in my own way, thinking about the ways of the world and how to figure things out on my own, it's not practical, right? It's not certain. It's not genuine. But the Word of God is, you know. What is the standard of our living? What is the spiritual blueprint of our lives? You know, even in sports, they must abide by a rule book, right? If you ever read the book, Take God at His Word, Dr. Worrell simply kind of just makes this comparison. Like, even in sports, you know, there's a standard, and it's the rule book. But that's not even always guaranteed, you know, in the world. I mean, look at the Rams and Saints game. I don't even watch football. I mean, even I was like, what's going on here? You know? But what is genuine? What is practical? What is certain? It's God's word. Because we just read that it is the truth. Thy word is truth. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. So how long has God's word been true? How long has it been genuine? How long has it been certain? How long has it been established for us? Right? Psalms 119 in verse 160. It says, thy word is true from the beginning. And that's pretty impressive. True from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. That's so cool. The truth of God's word did not start to be true once we became born again. And the beginning in God's word, it was true. And the beginning was when God created the heaven and the earth. And that's a long time ago. You know, the word of God was true when the earth was without form and void. No, we were late to the party, you know, but we still get to party. And we live the greatest lives in this world, knowing the truth of God's word. And, you know, the word, it's all over God's word, the lives that we can live, the lives that we should live, the lives that God intended us to live, to be blessed, a blessed people, to live joy, to take advantage of peace because of what Jesus Christ had accomplished. But, you know, we may have been late, but somebody told us Romans 10:9 and 10, and that's a game changer for our lives. It was for me. I was witness to in 1999 by a wonderful believer named Jill Sinardo. And it took some time for me, but man, my life has never been the same ever since. And it's because of God's word being true, and it's also because of standing believers like yourselves to believe God's word is true to help me. And we all have done this for each other, which is fantastic. You know. So why should we take God at his word? Why should we believe that God's word is true? Well, what is the standard, right? The standard is God's word, and nothing but God's word. And we have to come to the conclusion without doubt in our heart that God's word is true. Numbers chapter 23 will help us give us an understanding of why we should take God at his word. And these are really great familiar verses, but nonetheless, if we ever need to get energized or a tremendous reminder on times of great intimidation in our lives, which we have faced and we will face, these are the verses that help us continue to remind us of the foundation that has been built by God underneath our feet. Numbers chapter 23. Are you there? Verse 19, it says, God is not a man. Well, thank God for that. You know, even if God was a man, I don't even think I could be on board. You know, man has weaknesses. We're flawed. You know, we're doubtful. You know, we can be fearful sometimes, but God is not. And God did not take the form of a man. God is spirit. But even greater than that also, as well, is that God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a liar, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? God doesn't change his mind. Think about that. All that he has spoken through in his word is true, and it's a done deal. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Anyone here ever made a decision and then changed their mind before? My wife and I had a battle over a vacuum the other day. What vacuum to buy? It was heated. I'm more of the refurbished kind of guy. She's like, let's get the new one. No. It can go, which one? I don't know. Which one did we buy? I don't even know. Things just arrive at the house. They just arrive, you know? What is the truth? Which one did you pick? All right, we got the refurb. We've got the truth. Thank you, honey. But God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. And in truth, you know. Why should we take God at his word? He's not a man. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change his mind. So everything that we can read and benefit right in front of us in God's word or on your tablet or your phone, it's not going to change. We change, you know, all the time. We constantly go back and forth on decisions that we make day to day. But when we believe God's word and apply it in our heart, that's when decisions come out and we can make some really, really, really good decisions with God. Psalms 12. Psalms 12. Why else should we take God at his word? Why should we take his word seriously? Why can we depend on this word of God? Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6. The word says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Remember, that word sanctify means surrender or to purify. And we can purify them through thy truth because the word of God has been purified. You know, it's that process of working with metals to get the purest form of that metal by heating it and heating it and heating it and getting all the impurities out of it. And we have that word that is pure. You know, when was the last time we had pure words as pure as the word of God come out of our mouths? Well, I'll tell you. If it's the word of God we're believing, and if it's the word of God that we're speaking that is truth, then that's the last time. You know, and what a great responsibility and privilege that we have as believers to stand in the gap right now to help people who have need, who don't know God's word, that we get to speak God's word. And every time we get to speak God's word, those words are pure. Those words are genuine. Those words are certain. Those words are true. So cool. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. The word is a standard. It has to be for the believer. It is the rule book of our lives, the blueprint of living. It is the guideline that sets us on a straight path. It helps us not rear to the left nor the right, and it cuts solid. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word, did I say Hebrews 4? Oh, Proverbs 30, sorry, ahead of myself. It says, every word of God is pure. So that covers what part of the word is pure or true. Every single word, every jot, every tittle. Every single word. So that's a guarantee, and that's a comfort right there. You won't read a part of God's word or stumble a part of any part of God's word, and you won't have to doubt whether it's true. Every single word. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. That's great. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And God knows we kind of tend to rock back and forth a little bit. We're human. But when we stake our lives and just stand on God's word without doubt that it's true, we see God do some amazing things. And when we move, God moves. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For the word is quick. This word quick in the Greek is zio, or it means alive. God's word's alive. It means not lifeless or dead. It means to be fresh or strong or efficient. You want to be efficient, you want to be strong, and you want to be fresh. Well, God's word is fresh. It's strong. It's efficient. It's alive. It's powerful. We've seen this in our lives. If we haven't been convinced of God's word being true, being powerful, bringing results as we believe it, being strong and efficient, none of us would be sitting here right now. We're here because we know God loves us. God's done incredible things for us. We have to do some maintenance once in a while, but that's okay. God knows us. God definitely knows us. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The truth of God's word is pure, certain, genuine, and it's alive and powerful. And it's really the most efficient way to live. It's the most practical way to live. And we can live that way because it's true. John chapter 8, verse 32. It says, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have been set free because God's word is true. That he is not a man that he should lie. That he doesn't change his mind. That he doesn't take back what he says or what he gives. And he's given us Holy Spirit. And that's a sealed deal. So we've been set free because of God's word is true. So take a deep breath and relax. You know? We have answers to life. You know, we have power that we can manifest that defies away our five senses of living. And that's incredible. We have the great truth and reality of the great hope of the return of Jesus Christ. You know, and if we want to stand a lifetime as believers, the return of Jesus Christ has to be our hope. That is the truth that we have to look forward to, if not one of the greatest truths in God's word. Yeah, amen. Because of the truth of God's word, we have great comfort now. You know, and I'd love to cover all the things that we get to enjoy because the word is true. But man, Christ is coming back. How true is that? And what can we do to prove that? We can speak in tongues. And we heard the tremendous things that God told us through the utterance manifestations. And God said some really great, incredible things to us, you know. What a great comfort. So if you're having a bad day or a rotten week or a really frustrating year, it's okay. We have the truth of God's word. We have the hope to look forward to. That'll help us stand a lifetime. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 21. Let's read this verse together. It says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Wherefore, lay apart, and that means to put aside or to rid yourself. Get rid of it. All filthiness, and filthiness are things that defile or corrupt or dishonor. And superfluity means like a residue, or they're like remains, right, of the old man. And of naughtiness means evil or trouble. And receive with meekness. And that's just the gentleness in spirit, the humbleness of mind. It's submissive to the things of God, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And this word engrafted is really cool. It means implanted or implanted by others' instruction. We have God in Christ implanted in us first of all. And now we have his word implanted in us. We have his word at our disposal to believe and manifest. And that's really cool. We can help people. We can heal people because we have the truth of God's word. We can cast devil spirits out. Pretty weird, right? But we can do it. Some of you have. We can have peace in the face of great intimidation with this pure word, this word of truth. You know, we're all sitting here today because we've benefited from our believing from the word of truth, from God's word being true, being certain, being genuine, a word that's been purified, a word that we can count on, from a God that doesn't lie, and thank God that a God that's not a man. You know, one time I thought about when I was going over this, when I was kind of, I don't know, maybe I was young on the word, but there was a day, there was an advance that I was at, and, you know, I love going to those things just to hear the word of God, but I also like to fish. So I like to go fishing a lot when I can, and every time there's no teaching, I'm at the lake. And, you know, I was out there casting and praying and speaking in tongues and just taking advantage of where I was and hearing God's word and what it was doing for my heart. And I think it was Lance that was walking in the woods, and I'd never seen Lance walk in the woods before. There he was. And I'm just going to keep fishing. And he kept walking towards me, and I'm just going to keep fishing. And he just came up to me, and we just started talking about the word. And I don't even remember what we talked about. I think we were talking about something that we were going through. It was probably me. I have tons of problems. And it was just fantastic. I was changed even more so, not just from the teaching, from the advances, but you know, Lance was sharing verses with me, and I was sharing verses with him. You know, we don't get the chance to do this a lot, but man, it was a word that had worked in me, and I think in him too, in his heart. Remember that time?
Oh, I remember.
I don't know. I'm probably messing up the story, but well, he finally left, and I can keep fishing finally. And I was like, well, you know, that's just our lives with God. That's what it does for our lives. It's to accept in our heart the truth of God's word and to know that it is the most practical way of living and thinking and speaking, you know. And what it does for our lives is tremendous. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. You guys look great. And verse 16, the word says, hereby we perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Ooh, that's a heavy one, right? That's sure is thankful for that. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion, from him how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Wherever we go, the living word of truth abides in us. Wherever we go, whether you like it or not, actually, as born-again believers. Whatever state of mind that we're in, whether bad or good, the word's still in us. We've been instructed. We're born-again believers. We have God's word now. Now, I believe in God's commitment to his word. I truly do. And, you know, we've heard, well, it's in the word. It's going to be true whether we believe it or not. And I get that, you know. But God didn't give us his word to just read. And then we go on our day and hope for the best, you know. Let's show those in need by speaking the word in love, followed by deed, and the word says in truth. You know what helps convince people that the word of God is true? It's by us living it, you know, the best that we can. You know, I've shared this with my fellowship time and time again, you know. I don't care what you do. You could read 100 verses out there and witness all you want, and that's great. We need to do that, you know. The world needs us. But you want to see the word move, or you want to bring somebody new to a fellowship, you know, live the word. Live the love of God. Serve. Let them see what your life's really about. Let them see what my life is really about, you know. But in deed and in truth. So it takes a little work, right? It takes a little work. And you'll find that as when you believe the word and you want to stand the best that you can, the deed will come in probably almost the most inconvenient times of our lives, right? But the world needs us. They need to see the truth of God's word so they can benefit from the things that we've been enjoying, the privilege that we get to serve as well, and to love with the love of God. You know, and we do it all the time. That's not related to the word, you know. We rarely withhold good news from people, like, I don't know, a good restaurant or a doctor's recommendation or ladies, a good sale, right? Tell your husbands all about those good sales. You know, we can't wait but to tell people a lot of stuff sometimes that has nothing to do with God's word. It's just our day-to-day routine. The routine to be our best to uphold the truth of God's word should be the word. Yeah. That should be the greatest habit that we can ever build. That's the good news that we should share, the truth of God's word. You know, something that's pure, alive, powerful, faithful. You know, and we get fed crap every day from the world. You know, like we get bombarded with information and rumors and lies and other facts, you know. Well, what about God's word? Do we spend time in the truth of God's word, being convinced that it is true, that it is certain, that it is the most practical way of living for the believer? Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. In verse 13, the word says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. You know, another translation I found, our kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Now, there are defining moments in our lives when we think that we will achieve something or done something good or even great. You know, happiness is kind of like the byproduct of achievement. When we do something good or we achieve something, we feel good, you know. But the most defining moments, not even just our lives, but even in our one single day that we live, is living and believing the truth of God's word to help and to serve. And that's really, really important. Proverbs 14:25. You don't have to go there, but it says, a true witness delivereth souls. Can you imagine saving a life with just by standing as a believer, believing in the truth of God's word and using those incredible tools in God's word to serve and help somebody's life? It's incredible. And lives have been saved, and lives still need to be saved. You know, Reverend Jerry Carr once said one time that this isn't a game. You know, this is life or death, and we have the truth of God's word to save people's lives, their very, very life, spiritually, and even physically, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a really great verse that I've read over and over again because I'm not great at it. But I strive to sometimes to improve at things I'm not good at. And this is one thing that I've been putting a goal in my life the past couple of years because it's important for my life, because my life is important to God and so is yours. In verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to be our very best today for God. And we can do that because we have a rule book, we have a standard, and that's the word of God, the truth of God's word, so that we can stand ready to do the will of God at our very best. You know, and all our individual best is all different, you know. When we see each other, we should see the greatest of all greats in the family of God, because we all have something really specific and really tremendous, an office, an independent office that you guys can only hold and perform, to give to the body of Christ, to edify and to build. And we got to know God's word in order to do that continually and stronger and better. We have to be students of God's word. You know, we need to have that verse for that thought, for that situation, for that time of great need. We need to have the word fresh in our brains, the word of truth, so that we can be that ambassador for Christ. We need to have this word of truth to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Go to Luke chapter 6. And, you know, I like to work on the things that I'm good at because I know I'm not a Bible scholar, but I know that the word of God is true. And God's word speaks to me very simply, and I'm sure it does for you. Luke chapter 6. In verse 47, the word says, And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He is like a man which is built an house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That word, vehemently, somebody say that word, please. Thank you. I knew it was, that's what I thought it said. In the Greek, it's pereso. It means to break against, to break by dashing against. We don't have that foundation anymore in the second part of that verse. Nothing's going to break against or break by dashing against the foundation of the Word of God. We have a firm foundation, and that's the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. And that's awesome. And I think that sometimes we give ourselves a hard time when we're trying to do our best for God, it's okay. We have a firm foundation beneath our feet. It's not going anywhere. You know, the times we make mistakes, it's all right. God gets it. You know, but when we fall, we're falling on a firm foundation. It's the word of truth. And that's awesome. Go to 3 John. 3 John. It's hard for anything to fall or break down upon when the foundation is firm. It's solid. 3 John. In verse 2 it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." This word prosper is really cool. It means to grant a prosperous or expeditious journey, or to lead by a direct and easy way. It means to be successful. This is God's heart and intention from the very beginning. The very beginning, for us to be successful and be in health, to be led in a direct and easy way, an easier way. The physical body can fail us in so many ways, big and small. But still, the greatest disease of our time is still sin sometimes, right? Or not all the times. But when we're out of fellowship with God and in fellowship with the things of this world, you know, we're squandering the greatness of the truth of God. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to enjoy life more than abundantly. Because in a nutshell, it's already paid for. It's like a free dinner. Just have at it, right? The devil makes slaves. God makes sons and daughters. And he's built a foundation for his kids to stand on, like we just read about. A foundation that will not crumble. A foundation of the integrity and the truth of his word. And he has revealed the truth of his word to us so that we can share it with others, so that they may be free and witness the love of the Father. So the word is true. Okay, that's it. Love you guys.